The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman, with you on this Friday, the 11th of August, 2017. And I got an email today. The email goes as such. And I'll even throw in a note that he talks about Alex Jones and Roger Stone. Here's the plan to overthrow Trump and the American people. Now, here's the note on this before the actual story of Kirk McKenzie, and I thought it was interesting. That's why I'm going to include it. Note, Alex Jones and Roger Stone were talking yesterday, and Jones said something to the effect that all information that Trump has asked to be sent to him, text, email, phone calls, to help him govern effectively and to alert him to all that you are describing in your email, are being diverted, and Trump doesn't get that information. That is, there is a panopticon around Trump where the deep state is in effect, creating a virtual reality by, in real time, removing information that Trump needs to either govern according to the wishes of the American people in electing him, or to keep alive and safe from this lawless and monstrously evil deep state coup. The amount of effort that must be taking must be enormous, and the surveillance and intervention technologies vastly beyond what the general public could even fathom at this point. Jones made it clear that he was disclosing information he was not authorized to disclose, but essentially said, F it, and I have no doubt that he said that on air. The bad guys know all of this, and it's time for the American people to know this. Okay. All right. Roger Stone, does he have an email? Does he not know Steve Bannon? I think Roger Stone knows Steve Bannon. So why doesn't he call Steve Bannon and say, hey, look, I'm going to send you over an email. Print this out. The next time, because you're allowed in the national security, I guess, briefings to a limited extent, on your way down the hallway passing the president, please hand this to him. So what I'm... and folks, I'm trying not to make this... I'm not trying to make light of this. But if Donald Trump is depending on emails from Alex Jones to run the country, holy mackerel. But here, that's the attachment to this email. The story from Kirk McKenzie, the plan to overthrow Trump and the American people. And he says this unequivocally and in plain English. He said, here's the plan to overthrow Trump and the American people. Read this entire explanation and pass it on. We the people, recognizing an attack on Trump as an attack on our rights, property, sovereignty, and the big question is whether the people will recognize what's going on, then stand up and organize en masse to fight back effectively to save our republic. Under the heading of coup d'etat, the globalist goal is to remove Trump from office by next spring, by concession, else impeachment and conviction, then win back the Senate and House during the 2018 elections. Who's winning the House back? They already have the House. And the only label that the Democrat Party has now is the shameful Debbie Wasserman Schultz, of which the Democrat Party is telling her to get lost. We're tired of your bad press and all the illegal stuff that you're involved in. We've had it with you. That's what I've garnered. The email continues under the coup d'etat section. Like Nixon, Trump did not commit a crime nor collude with the Russians. However, they will go after anything and everything possible, finding something illegal if they can, otherwise going after Trump for a cover-up. All right. Under the section of the media, will continue to create public hatred for Trump, so that's a majority, or an impassioned minority at the least, will see Trump's removal as justice. I think it's time for a civil war, don't you folks? Nah, let's not go there yet. We still have political recourse. Or is that discourse? House impeaches. Under the section of House impeaches, it takes simply a majority of those present voting in the House to impeach, pass articles of impeachment, laying out the allegation. It does not take a majority of the House. Only a majority of those present and voting, no shows and abstentions reduce the number of votes required. Under the section of Senate convicts, it takes two-thirds of the senators present to convict. That may be less than 67. All Democrat senators numbering 48. Rhinos and Trump haters, 10, question mark. Will vote to convict, although they will do everything to hide the fact that now, hide that fact for now, period. Mitch McConnell, John McCain, Marco Rubio, Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, others, question mark. So it's possible that there are already 58 or more Senate votes to remove Trump from office. Mike, do they understand that the president can suspend Congress? I think that's, oh boy, I don't even want to go there. Alabama election. Every Senate seat counts. Now, before I read this section, I want you to remember something. There is a guy down in Alabama, Judge Roy Moore. You remember that guy. You know, the one that wasn't for removing stuff around Christmas, you know, like baby Jesus in a manger and Virgin Mary and whatever. Now, wasn't this last week, Mike, that Trump come out and he's holding prayer groups in the White House now? I would like to see a bunch of sock puppets praying. I mean, they should go into acting if they can fake praying without being struck from a bolt from the blue. Anyhow, Alabama election. Every Senate seat counts. That's why McCain came back from the dead, and that's why the upcoming Alabama election is so important. Former Judge Roy Moore, yes, the proven warrior, has been the popular favorite. Luther Strange has been McConnell's pick. That's why McConnell and the Rhino establishment have put big money behind Luther Strange to vote to convict Trump. Now, despite the big money, Judge Moore has the edge. 2 days ago, Trump endorsed Luther Strange, the very man that may cast the deciding vote. Doesn't Trump see what's going on? You know, if Donald Trump wants to know what the hell is going on, somebody email him and tell him to listen to the show. I mean, he can do this in the quiet time and just leave it on for background noise until his ears perk up of hearing something he may be interested in. I mean, what news do the White House get? Do they have some super secret, really conservative, really, you know, staunch constitutional radio show that they listen to or something? I don't think so. You know, if Mr. Trump wants to get a flavor of America, tell him to listen to this network. Not secret little emails that aren't reaching him. Hell, we're live. You can even call into the show if he wants. Any rate, this is the assumption that this whole thing is the assumption that they're going to go after Donald Trump and impeach him. Now, intelligence agencies, FBI, CIA, already hacked the computers of Trump and his supporters. They know what documents are available to them and where they're headed. These were given to Mueller long ago to guide his efforts. They will continue leaking documents and emails over time to maintain the fuel, the media efforts, Watergate style, however. The documents are not admissible in any legal proceedings. Special counsel. Under that section, Robert Mueller will use his position as special counsel to second-guess and attack Trump and to pressure key Trump supporters to turn on Trump using any and every possible grounds available, actual or invented. The recent early morning FBI raid on Paul Manafort's home reveals the strategy. Already in possession of documents and emails obtained through illegal and inadmissible surveillance, subpoena Trump's supporter, ask pointed questions on the record to get some gotcha, then immediately raid the person's computer, home, or office to obtain the documents legally. So they are admissible. Now, let me backtrack here for a second. Paul Manafort said, what information do you want? He was in front of, he was in hearings in Washington, D.C. I heard him myself say this. I have no problem turning over anything that I have, emails or anything else. So what does Mueller do? He does a pre-dawn FBI gussied up, PAS-catted helmet out, bulletproof vests and all, 9 yards with the tactical approach of getting in this guy's home. As if they needed to do that in the first place. The only thing they would have had to do is a couple guys show up in suits, ring the doorbell, they would have been let in. This whole mindset of the militarized police state going to kick your door down. Yeah, folks, I don't mean to laugh here, but this whole thing is becoming ridiculously stupid. Do you know what they said about the KGB when it would come to people's doors in the middle of the night? Remember some of the things were said? That we cowered behind our doors and we hid in the shadows while these clowns operated in the dead of night, but, you know, with the full sanctioning of the state, their question was, what would have happened if we just made these people non-people? What if a couple of KGB clowns knocked on somebody's apartment door in an apartment house? And all of a sudden, all the doors open in the middle of the night, and there's no two KGB agents to be seen anywhere. You know, is this what it's going to take to instill some sort of castle doctrine again that you're at least safe in your own house against unreasonable searches and seizures? And unreasonable is one of the things they show up with SWAT teams to punch in your door. Don't give them any crap. Don't look at them sideways. Don't have a dog that might not like his tail stepped on and he growls and he gets a bullet in his head or her head. Let me not be discriminatory. Enough. Enough. On the issue of Hillary Clinton, a couple of days ago, I posted up on republicbroadcasting.org about a plea deal. Just admit you were a little bit guilty here and there. We're not going to dig into the Clinton Foundation. We're not going to trace you or track you back to Murder, Inc. Incorporated, you and Billy, all the way back to Mena, Arkansas. Remember, folks, there is no statute of limitations on murder. It follows you forever. And Hillary Clinton will be left off altogether or given a favorable plea deal. Under the heading of the National Security Council, headed by Mr. McMaster, will protect Hillary and thwart Trump. I'll get around to Mr. McMaster here in a second. Now, did this question pop up in your head? Remember when Jeff Sessions recused himself? Why did he do that? And then out of almost the very same office, Rod Rosenstein doesn't sit on Jeff Sessions' lap in his attorney general's office, but he's nearby. Why was Rod Rosenstein, why did he appoint who he appointed? Why did he do that? Or why was he allowed to do that? And did Jeff Sessions ever offer a credible explanation as to why he recused himself as being attorney general to appoint Mueller as special prosecutor in the first place? Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will continue to support any and every effort Mueller makes to get Trump. Sessions has been exclusively focused on illegal immigration and crime. Hello, Jeff. Just take a look up from your desk. Cock an ear. Just look around you. The big question is, what will Sessions do? Will he go after Hillary? Will he allow Mueller to continue a coup d'etat, or will he do his job? Now, under the subsection here of Congress, Chuck Schumer and the rest will continue their attacks and war plans. Rhinos will ensure none of Trump's major campaign promises, health care, the wall, peace with Russia, tax reform, etc., get passed. They will stall, delay, rationalize, take recesses, all while trying to maintain a facade of support so Republicans don't turn on them. I got news for you. We know who the rhinos are, and we've already turned against them. This is no mystery, and this is no secret out here. The Senate Judiciary Committee, headed by Dianne Emil Goldman, otherwise known as Dianne Feinstein, will ensure Hillary is protected and Trump destroyed. The administration, Obama holdovers, will undermine Trump in every way possible. The judiciary will be used to thwart and delay Trump's initiatives. Obama will continue to travel worldwide to shadow Trump's visit with world leaders while continuing to use and grow his army of community organizers. Identity politics, folks. Add a touch of color in there, man, and you're off and running. Now, that leads up to this. According to BWCentral.org, McMaster is a foreign intelligence agent for the multinational Combine, controlled by George Soros. According to three separate domestic and foreign intelligence sources, McMaster is a foreign intelligence agent for the national Combine, controlled by Soros, which explains why he's constantly running interference to President Trump's agenda. I have confirmed from sources inside the White House, the Israeli government, and the Israeli intelligence that Israelis have intercepted email communications from General McMaster to George Soros, informing him of everything that's going on inside the White House. And that's according to Roger Stone. I have double-checked this with two different sources very high up in the Israeli intelligence, and I actually expect the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. to confirm this. Roger is buddy-buddy with high Israeli sources? Now, this means by implication that McMaster is one of the primary leakers, given that Soros has vast ties to the mainstream media. It is already known that McMaster was a member of the International Institute for Strategic Studies, which was funded by George Soros and his Open Society Foundation and another Soros finance group. Also last month, Israel publicly accused Soros of continuing to undermine democratically elected governments. Isn't that kind of odd? Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs took the opportunity to criticize Soros when it spoke out against the vandalism of anti-Soros posters in Hungary, which were defaced with anti-Semitic graffiti. Wow. I don't know about, you know, folks, excuse me for saying this. Maybe for even thinking it. But who the hell is Roger Stone? Who the hell is this guy? Where in the hell did Roger Stone come from? Is this guy a CIA asset? Does he work directly for them? Who the hell is he? You can't get a message to the president? Are you kidding me? You can talk to top people in the Israeli government, but you can't talk to Washington, D.C. or anybody in Trump's White House that you consider to be safe? Is this another CIA scam being run by you guys or what?
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Got a tie here between McMaster's and Soros and his Open Society Foundation. Israeli Minister of Foreign Affairs took the opportunity to criticize Soros when it spoke out against the vandalism. What? Israel deplores any expression of anti-Semitism in any country and stands with Jewish communities everywhere in confronting this hatred. It's not hatred. It's exposure of the phony Zionism and what has sucked the Jews into in this entire world. It's not hatred. It's just explanation of history. So you can call it whatever the hell you want to. I don't care. Give it a name. Now, that was stated by Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesperson Emmanuel Nashon. Goes on to say, in no way was the statement meant to delegitimize criticism of George Soros, who continuously undermines Israel's democratically elected governments by funding organizations that defame the Jewish state and seek to deny its right to defend itself. What? Excuse me? The very people that have been trying to put this New World Order together are in lockstep with George Soros. And one of the little bonus packages here, it's kind of like getting the wishbone out of the Thanksgiving turkey, Most people don't allow time for it to dry, so it never really snaps properly. But, you know, hey, it's a Thanksgiving thing. So one of the bonuses here of the Globalism Project, the One World Order, New World Order, given a name, George Soros is down with. And George Soros is not going to go around attacking anything Israel. So here again, kind of disinformation in the body of what's really going on here. Okay, all right, I took note. Now, it goes on to say that Soros began infiltrating the National Security Council as early as May when his operative, Fiona Hill, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Soros-funded Eurasia Foundation, joined its staff. And according to Mr. Stone, George Soros has penetrated the Trump White House. He goes on to say that Soros has planted a mole infiltrating the national security apparatus. A woman named Fiona Hill, who has a Harvard background, and has been on Soros' payroll and the payroll of the Open Society Institute. Hill had previously helped the Soros-funded Central European University in Hungary, which has tried to influence the Hungarian government, which has defiantly refused EU migrant quotas and Soros meddling in its affairs. CEU's rector, Michael Ignatieff, said, "We got unequivocal support from Fiona Hill's team in the National Security Council. I went up on the Hill and spoke to Republican senators and staff." Now, there's a tiny ledge of commonality between the Republicans and the Democrats, and academic freedom is one issue that unites them both. This seems like a CIA-written piece that somebody went in and hacked and whacked and said, we'll cut this part out and cut that part out, because it jumps commonality between Republicans and Democrats. It's at best sketchy to begin with. But let me ask the question again. Who in the hell is Roger Stone? You know, remember what I told you about what my mama told me? Johnny, stay away from people. The eyes are the windows of the soul. Stay away from people that look like they have eyes that are two piss holes in the snow. And that describes Roger Stone to a T. So, Mr. Stone, if anybody listening to this program that is in contact regularly with Roger Stone, tell him to send a damn telegram. I think Western Union has to deliver the telegram to the person it's addressed to. So how do they handle this? Send a Western Union guy to the White House in his little uniform with telegram in hand and refuse to put it in anybody else's hand, saying, I'll give it to the president. We handle all communications that come into the White House. Well, let's just test the theory here that nobody can talk to Mr. Trump because he's being guarded by a bunch of anti-Trumpers. So if it's refused to give it directly to the president, or at least witness the president receiving said telegram, well, then now your contention about nobody can get to the president, including you, sir, that still have friends inside of that White House. I'm not buying this crap.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You know, before I came into the office today, I was watching Ben Shapiro, and he's been making the rounds. He is one of the head guys over at Breitbart. He has openly professed that he is a Jewish conservative. Is that possible? Mike, is that possible? Is that kind of like dry water, being a conservative Jew? But again, let me go back to the statements I've made repeatedly over the last several days of how this left-right paradigm, how it got formed and shaped from Democrat-Republican, and for which the document is supposed to stand, versus the cultish identity politics. That has happened, it's been 40-plus years now, and look where we're at now. I am rather amazed at some of the stuff that's been going on. But at any rate, I wanted to, and Shapiro, some of the subsequent videos, I must say this, talking about socialism, and he's been going. Let me give the man his due. He's been going to high schools and colleges, and lecturing, giving speeches, Q&A, not just being promoted as he's the end-all, be-all of Category A or Category B, and here you go, here's the statement, take the applause or the boos and walk off the stage. No, he actually engages, which is refreshing unto itself. But the one thing that led me to this is, of all people, Fox Business News, talking very nicely, by the way, to an entitled millennial. And what subsequent Shapiro video showed me, colleges, high schools, didn't matter, that they consider themselves to be socialists and they don't know why. They know what they want, and in order to get it, they're demanding. But you see, the government doesn't have a secret little trust fund that it draws on. It draws on the American taxpayer. Or more succinctly, the American taxpayer's ledger, debt ledger. Because we're not talking money here. We're talking about all borrowed stuff with interest. So here is Fox Business interviewing a millennial that just wants free stuff. How does he get paid for? Well, by the 1%.
A million student launch national event organizer. Kelly, good to have you. Keely, I'm sorry. Is it Keely or Kelly?
That's okay. It's Keely.
I apologize. So what do you
totally
want
fine.
Here? What do you want?
So the movement, the Million Student March, is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education, as opposed to the really corporate model that we have right now. So the three core...
It's going to take me an hour to get through this. I can just see it right now. A more equitable education system. All right, it isn't enough that we have set up a national education system, we have inputted the federal government into the education programs of all citizens of all states. Forget the fact, well, don't forget the fact, remember that this is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, to have a public school system to be used as a transmission belt for propaganda. And they are being propagandized, folks. Make no mistake about this. Remember several years ago, I kept asking people, why the hell don't you show up Parent Teachers Association meetings? Why are you not questioning the curriculum? Why are you not paying attention rather than just parking your kids there and maybe somehow thinking, well, they're going to get the same education I got? Wrong answer. They're not. And this corporate structure, part of the problem is that the government got into student loans. And then we saw what happened with college tuitions. Oh, we got government banking. We got government getting involved in this. Student loans. Hey, we're off and running. Now we got somebody we know can pay, a single payer, if you will. And they start jacking their rates up. For a while there, the only college, really, enrollment of any significant numbers were rich foreigners' kids coming into the United States to attend our university. I'm sorry, I digressed.
Our demands of the National Day of Action are free public college, a cancellation of student debt, and a $15 an hour minimum wage for people who work on the campus.
And how's that going to be paid?
Great question. I'm not sure if you're talking on like a national level or at particular schools. I can sort of touch on both.
If you wanted all that stuff, someone asked to pick up the tab. Who would that be?
The 1% of people in society that are hoarding the wealth and really sort of causing a catastrophe that students are facing. I mean, we have a relationship right now where 1% of the population owns more wealth than the 99% combined.
All right, so if the 1%, Kelly, if the 1% just had their taxes raised a few years ago, back to almost 40%. Then to pay for the health care law, they had them raised another few percentage points. Then they had their deductions limited to raise another couple points, where depending on the state or locality, they're pushing over about 50% in taxes. How much higher do you think? How much more do you think they should pay?
I think enough until we have a system where not one in two American families are threatened with poverty.
So where do they go? Let's say if you tax them, they're smart folks, these people, these 1% hoarders, right? So if they leave here, then who's going to pay for all this stuff that you want?
If they leave?
The country.
Oh, I mean, there's always going to be a 1% in the U.S. The U.S. is like the bastion of capitalism and its success, and I think
Do you think the 1% can pay for all of this?
Absolutely. 85 people in the world hold more wealth than half of the global population.
No, wait a minute. Are we talking about 85 billionaires, or are you extending this to the 1% or whomever who earn a little bit north of $250,000? At what level, Healy, do you start saying you got to pay a hell of a lot more than you're paying now in taxes?
I mean, I think people earning, certainly people earning over $1 million a year should be contributing to the wellness of society.
If it's 50% now,
wellness
it's
of the
50%
society.
With taxes. Hmm. We used to have a top rate of 90%. You think we should get back to that?
I mean, I think that eventually we will get back to that. I think
and
eventually.
You're okay with that? Are some of your friends okay with that? Do some of them want to be successful themselves and they'd be happy when they get to a level? Maybe over 200,000, 250,000, they start paying 90% in taxes on that. They'll be happy with that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that
Keely,
people,
come on, you're talking to me here. Your friends are going to be happy getting to a point in their career when they can look outside and say, finally, I'm able to pay 90% in taxes.
Obviously, you know, people in your position, you know, don't want to pay 90%.
Do you hear what she's advocating here? When the question was put on the taxation issue, what have I reminded you many times over the years? When Bill Clinton was in office and they caught Dianne Feinstein getting off of an aircraft and it was on gun control and she popped off with this, well, when we charge the American people, you know, 80-85%, maybe 90% taxes. Evidently, the junket she had come back from was world-class socialism and how to institute it. But now you hear this echoed by this little bimbo that's supposed to be the head of a million-person march on Washington. He expounds the same thing. Wow. Education in America is propagandization in America. And rather than the school system staying to the what everybody thought and agreed to what schools were supposed to be about was the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I guess they left out the spelling class in that. But here we are. With some little bimbo, some little socialist that has bought into the deal, espousing her views of 90% taxation. Redistribution of wealth, folks, for those that cannot generate it for themselves, and many have not, they're fully convinced that because they were born in this country, that somehow they're entitled to your stuff. This is why I come up with my cutesy little keep your hands off my itty-bitty, because that's all we really have. Itty-bitty in greater or lesser degrees. It's still itty-bitty and constantly being threatened. I'm sorry. I told you it was going to take me a while to get through this. You know, you really need to move to China. You really need to move to North Korea. You really need to move to a country that enjoys communism. If that is your goal, well, then go over to North Korea and live in the lap of luxury as a private citizen. Oh, that's not what they have over in North Korea. They got wealth distribution. Really? What wealth? What wealth? These little up-and-coming millennial socialists do not understand how wealth is created. But they're going to be there at the trough to demand everything that they think they're due. And they can't explain how they're going to pay for it. Somebody owes everywhere. Somebody owes something to somebody. Somebody's got to get paid. And what they're now equating capitalism with is not free market. Capitalism now stands for abject greed. And you heard her, hoarding. Hoarding. In other words, you cannot keep what you have because I'm demanding a portion of what you got, if not all of it. So ergo, you're a capitalist hoarder. You stinking little mindless wench. Excuse my language here, folks. But this is what's going on and being taught in our schools, our public schools. This is what is being taught in our colleges, these professors. This has to stop. But again, how is this going to come into being? That's the people that are associated with these young millennials that are being propagandized in our schools, in our colleges. Where in the hell are the parents? The question I asked yesterday, you got Rahm Emanuel inviting every ne'er-do-well on the face of the planet to come to Chicago. Don't worry, you're not going to get deported. We don't even give a damn if you're a criminal. You got sanctuary. You got safe haven here in Chicago. And now there's going to be lawsuits back and forth, and the Fed is going to huff and puff, and Rahm Emanuel, a little communist that he is, in Chicago. But I ask the question, where are the people in Illinois? He is not your damn governor. He is mayor of a city that's going to directly affect any town, USA, Illinois. Period. Where the hell are you? I'm starting to think, and this is an evil thought, so bear with me. I am starting to reach the conclusion that most people in this country don't want to live in a free country anymore. They don't want to think for themselves. They don't want to work for themselves. They don't want to stand up for themselves against whatever tyranny comes a-knocking. They're either waiting for a savior, the second coming of Jesus Christ, to send the bastion of the hounds of hell right down to hell. Or they're waiting for somebody to come in and fix the problem other than themselves. And they don't understand that it's a participatory government. That at the very least you got to stand up against what is blatantly shoved down your throat and you know instinctively to be wrong. Where the hell are you? Don't we have any listeners in Illinois that have the guts to call into this show today? We used to get tons of calls from Chicago, remember? Now I'm not getting any calls. What's going on with you people? Has somehow the oxygen in Illinois been sucked out of the atmosphere and you're all unconscious right now? Hell, the regular callers used to call into the show don't even bother calling in anymore. Why? Told you it's going to be tough for me to get through this. I've got a lot on my mind today.
Unless you're high as a kite, you wouldn't volunteer to pay 90%, right? I mean, unless you really did see a considerable bang for the buck and it was worth it, right? But a lot of the times that you realize it's not worth it, and given some of the track records we've seen with government, it doesn't always work, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But the reality is we have to look at the injustice of the system as it exists right now.
Then if everyone paid a little bit more for this, would you pay a little bit more for this, besides the rich, that it's worth it? That do you think these are good goals?
People already are paying for
differently. I asked you, would you, Keely, and your friends, and your mom, and your dad, and your family, would they happily pay more to provide all of these benefits you just outlined?
Of course, and we already are.
You just said to pay for some of the things you wanted, the rich should pay significantly more than they're paying right now. Now you're telling me...
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay, Everyone's already paying.
Well, they're not. I mean, now you're saying for the added, these added benefits that you want, and they're fine benefits, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You think mm-hmm. your friends, their parents, your family would be happy to pay a little bit more to provide these guarantees and benefits?
I come from an incredibly working class family. And my family is already on numerous forms of government assistance and is basically scraping by, you know, in order to get me through college. I live in a world and I see a system around me where there's a population that's doing nothing to contribute to the progression of society. Education is really the only way that we have innovation, that
you sound very smart. You know what's going on. You mentioned what's going on in the world. You're probably aware what's happening in Greece.
Yeah.
And these other countries that provided mm-hmm. all these benefits and then some, many of which you outlined very nicely here for us today. And they're going broke.
Yeah.
And they're out of money. And they don't know what to do. And their people are riding on the streets because they can't believe the money's gone. And the benefits and the promises
yeah.
are gone.
Right.
What do you think?
There's a global catastrophe right now of... complete defunding of social services
because
and defunding
they ran out of money.
Of public,
you know what happened, Keely? They just ran out of money.
Yeah.
Right?
I understand, but there is a 1% in Greece. There's a 1% in the United States. There's a 1%. There's a ruling class in absolutely every.
I don't doubt there is, Keely. I don't doubt there is, but obviously
yeah,
they've
so
been trying to tap
them
to get money from, and they realize either they don't have the money or they hid from the money. They're gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
And now these countries
yeah, so
are going
bust. Those people need to be accountable.
All right, fine.
These,
but
those
they're
people,
smart
those
and they're scurrying all
capital.
Over the globe. So now even
yeah,
if you...
Yeah, they are, and that's a problem.
All right, but they've done studies on this, Keely. I don't want to get boring here. But even if you were to take the 1% mm-hmm. and take all of their money, tax it 100%, do you know that couldn't keep Medicare, just Medicare in this country, going for 3 years? Did you know that?
If we're to a point where the rich is paying 100% on their taxes, then we're on the road to socialism and we're going to have a completely different type of public infrastructure.
No, what I told you is that even if you took all the money from the rich who you say are getting away with murder, and you took it all away,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't support one entitlement in this country for 3 years.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just don't, that sounds completely ludicrous to me.
Do you
I
know
mean,
that how much it will cost to mandate a $15 minimum wage across the country, to have everyone's student loan debt paid off, to pay for public college for everyone?
How much?
You have a rough idea on the cost of just the educational part, on the student loan part and the public college
yeah,
part.
Absolutely. $1.3 trillion in student debt, that's just a beginning. And then billions
and billions
of dollars.
Do you know how much you get fully taxing the 1%? 100%.
I don't know. Is it close to the number, the
$16 trillion
dollars that we spent to bail out the banks?
Hear what I'm saying,
because
I just
want
this to be a
banks
reminder.
Mm.
$1 trillion,
yeah.
which would barely keep Medicare going for 3 years. That's one area. Even mm-hmm. if we repositioned it to go into this area that you want, we don't have enough mm-hmm. to do it. So you're going to have to find other means of getting money, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a starting point. I mean, I think that all of these things require really comprehensive programs.
No doubt, no doubt.
Comprehensive
programs.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I guess what I'm asking you, your passion about this, and I admire that passion and your involvement in this, but I think you have to step back and look at the numbers that could be involved here, because they're going to be huge.
Right.
And a lot of those college behind you and institutions behind you, knowing that student debt is taken care of, it's forgiven and done, do you think any of those guys, any of those administrators, any of those schools aren't going to leap at the opportunity to gouge even more, to raise tuitions even more, to raise room and board even more?
Well, I mean, ideally, if we have a big enough mass movement of people in the streets, we can actually prevent things like that from happening. I mean,
oh my God. That is the front dummy for the Million Commie March on Washington, D.C. And she mentioned the banks. Do these people really not understand how this country got in debt? Did you know that the Social Security Administration is some $46 trillion upside down? $46 trillion. And that was supposed to be somewhat of a locked box that employees and employers put into these retirement funds that, hey, you know, that's your Social Security. And they kept taking the money out, distributing it elsewhere within the government to pay for other stuff that they shouldn't be involved in. And I'm not talking about what's upside down with Medicare and Medicaid or anything else. Steve in California. Hello, Steve.
Hey there, John. I'm glad you played that clip. I know I was kind of shocked when I first watched that this morning. I told my wife about it, and I said, you're going to have to watch this. But it's clearly our educational system is a failure, and that she must have definitely been brainwashed in the propaganda by a professor to never, well, she just took this stuff in hook, line, and sinker and never questioned it. But
and then going against an adult that understands a little bit more about economy, it was like throwing a guppy into a shark tank.
Yeah, it was quite embarrassing. But you know, you can't hardly shame one of these people, these libtards, I call them. You can't shame them. I don't know. They're just, they're in their own little bubble, and they don't quite understand it. She does not understand economics whatsoever. You know, if she'd gone after the banks and talked about that problem, how it all started, and or even talk about, you know, the defense budget being nearly $1 trillion, and, of course, nation building and how much that's costing us, and all this money being wasted on the NSA.
But even the juice that's still running on the outstanding debt that the government has with the privately owned middlemen, called the banks.
Yep.
And if she wanted money for education, let's look at the interest payment. You want to talk about student debt forgiveness? How about national debt forgiveness? And we don't want anything to do with you anymore, Mr. Banker. And by the way, we're not paying you juice anymore. You know what? You've already made your billions and your trillions. You better forget the basis of the loan to begin with, okay? Just, you need to walk away. You've already gotten everything that you have extorted and extracted from working people. Steve, here's the point. They don't get it. They've got a limited window on the world that they're being taught that somehow that income equality, the unfairness of the system, and they know their wants and their needs, but they don't know how that was achieved before. Do you remember at one time in this country, Steve, that if somebody had aspirations to be somebody or do something, they went about doing exactly that? Did anybody, when you took your exam to become an RN, did you have a cheat sheet? Was there somebody standing in front of that class when you were taking those exams that said to you, don't worry, I know that you're a well-intended person, and you can write in your own grade of what you think you should receive?
No, I didn't have that luxury.
No, and I'll tell you what, you wouldn't have made it in the nursing profession if you had failed those exams, because those exams were intended to do one thing. Do you have the rudimentary understanding of nursing and everything entailed with... I'm hearing a break here. Can you stick with me for a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. By the way, Steve will be with me Monday. Our friend Ron McDonald has a previous engagement that he doesn't want to get out of and can't get out of. No, it's not true. He's got something that is dealing with family, and I told him, I said, look, you've been with me for 8 years. You got to bow out because you've got an obligation. I said, I'd be mad at you if you didn't. We'll be right back.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.